Welcome to the Intuitive Pet Parent. I'm your host, Jessica Ardile, and today I'm so excited to be able to introduce P. Horsley. P. is the UK's most highly regarded animal communicator. She's a TEDx speaker, a grounded teacher, empowering mentor, and best-selling author of Heart to Heart and The Animal Communicator's Guide Through Life, Loss, and Love. She has a third book on the way, the Hay House Basics Animal Communication, which will be released in September 2018. And P, I'm delighted you're here with us. Thank you for taking a stand for animal intelligence and giving a voice here to our animal companions.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to join you and to be able to talk about animal communication and share it with people that may not know a lot about it or may never have even heard of it.
And you personally have guided thousands of people around the world to get back in touch with that intuitive ability and develop those skills in animal communication. And I think everyone listening also has knowing that they have access to that intuitive ability, right? So you have so many amazing experiences, incredible stories connecting with animals. I think one of the most important points is, validating it within ourselves. So in your experience, what will it take for people to really start believing that they have this intuitive ability within themselves?
If people are a bit like me when I started out, I was quite skeptical when I started out. So I needed verification. I needed to have information validated by other people whenever I was communicating with their animals. But it also came in lots of different ways. And some of your listeners might find that they've experienced this or that they will experience this. For example, you might just be thinking about something and then it suddenly that image of what you're thinking about just goes past you. Or if you have an experience like I did, a fly landed on my hand and I thought, oh, I wonder if I can communicate with flies. And so I asked the fly to fly around an umbrella, a parasol, where I was sitting outside in the garden, and to come back and land on my hand, and it did. The moment I asked it, it left my hand, flew anti-clockwise around the parasol, and came back to land on my hand again. And then I asked again, and it repeated exactly the same, anti-clockwise around the parasol, came straight back to my hand. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if you can do this again. And so I communicated with the fly, if you can do this again, I will never doubt animal communication is possible. And again, the fly left my hand, flew anti-clockwise around the parasol, and then came back to land on my hand. And that was it. And I said, thank you so much. And the fly just flew off. You know, it was like job done. And so I think sometimes we are given these sort of magical moments of validation just also spontaneously. We don't always have to go seeking it. And it's just about being open to it and accepting it and not ignoring it.
Absolutely. And I love the example of the fly, right? I mean, we have to look at this part of all intelligent life forms and that sentient beingness that's carried through and that connection we all have the ability to tune into. So we get all these clues around the world that we're connected through phones, the internet, right? We can record anywhere, anytime. And really, our bodies are doing that same thing. But we think it's everything outside of us, right? So when we talk about that innate ability to communicate nonverbally, P, what is the most important part of that communication? Is it the listening? Or in your experience, what do we need to do first?
You know, the biggest problem that human beings have is getting out of their own way, because our ego, which is very sort of fear and desire based, just keeps blocking us from very natural telepathic intuitive communication with other species, because other species of the animal kingdom are communicating all of the time, you know, and it's really natural to them. They don't block it. They're just in the moment communicating, trying to communicate with us, they're human beings, and they're communicating with each other, with other animals, and also very tuned into their environment, of course, as well, telepathically, not just through awareness through sight and hearing and all of those other senses that they have. So I think if people can start seeing themselves as beings of consciousness, and that, in fact, here's a good message. I'm just getting told by my dog Morgan, who's like my boss, you know, he's my master teacher, he's in spirit now, and he just said, just tell them we are all connected all of the time across any distance. And I remember he told me this right early on when I was starting out as an animal communicator. And that's really helped, actually. Instead of seeing ourselves as separate from other animal beings, other sentient beings of the animal kingdom, see ourselves as connected. And that just really helps us then sort of get out of our own way and just go, well, of course I can communicate with you because I'm connected with you. And I don't need to have you in the room right in front of me, though that does help some people. They can actually be in the next room, or they could be in a field, a couple of fields away, or they can be in spirit. Because really, when we're communicating with another being, we're communicating with them on a sort of soul-to-soul level with them, through the heart connection of unconditional love. So there's no judgment, there's no agenda. It's just from that place of loving kindness.
And it feels so good to be in that energy too, right? To be in that feeling of continuation rather than that beginning and the end. And so I'm curious, Pete, is this a fair question or not, but is death an illusion?
Okay, yeah, it's a fair question. You won't be the first to have asked it. who was it that said this? One of the animals said, death is a changing point. And it's a point of change, not only for those leaving the physical body, but for those left behind. And I've learned so much about death from the animals. I mean, so much so that I wrote a second book all about it. And I found that, because I used to be terrified of death. I couldn't even have people talk about death in my presence. I would just really get so upset about it, because for me, I used to believe death was the end. It was final, and that was it. Just, this big black void is what I kind of used to think it was. And then I started to communicate with animals who'd passed over, and I've been communicating with them for so many years now, and they've really educated me to understand that death is just a change. It's, sometimes it's when the body is worn out, sometimes it's when it's disease, sometimes it's from an accident. There are different reasons that the body dies, but it's the body that dies. It's not the soul, it's not the spirit of our animals. And I know once we can start getting more knowledge about death and what it really is, it's actually quite comforting for people, because grieving for an animal is just so deep for so many people, and it's not acknowledged. It's disenfranchised grief, which makes it even harder. That our animals are often our family, the domestic animals. They're often treated just as a family member, an equal within the family, and their loss is felt so deeply. But if we can have a bit of knowledge that actually, our beautiful animal that we've loved and adored for years and years still exists and is still present, just in a different way without the physical form, so they're harder to perceive, but they're still there. And the most important thing that animals have taught me is that they continue to love us, and they continue to care about us. And just because they've left their physical form does not mean that our relationship with them ends.
I appreciate you sharing that, Pete. Thank you. And no, I didn't know that about you. And I know so many people can relate to that. So thanks for being real and and giving that question a go with your heart there. The piece that I'm wondering, too, you mentioned, being a skeptic, and I can relate to that, right? And I think we all need to have a fair dose of skepticism to really be in that place of when we finally get to that arrival of, yes, okay, this is right. But do we have to have those validating experiences regularly or daily to believe they're real? I mean, like I said, the stories you have are incredible and are so many when we connect at that nonverbal level. It's just, wow. So do we need to have that to have it kind of stick with us? Or what's your experience with that, P?
I think the trick is not to go searching for it, not to feel that we can only communicate with animals if it's validated. Because some of the most beautiful communications I've had with other species have not been validated. And I'm talking about, you know, communicating with humpback whales and dolphins and manta rays, for example. It is helpful, though, to quieten the sort of the negative voice, the analytical or logical side of ourselves when we're starting out, you know, that really just goes, am I doing it? Is this real? Is this really happening? And I remember that feeling really well, even though that was, gosh, 11 years plus ago now. So in the beginning, it's really helpful to start practicing communicating with animals, with your friends' animals, for example, so they can validate some information, like really simple. But also don't go looking for it. You know, also communicate with the birds in your gardens and don't expect them to jump through hoops for you, so to speak. Or if you're really, you know, sometimes people think, well, if my dog can really hear me, then if I say to it, telepathically, if you can hear me, turn around and sit looking at me, and then they don't do it, they get put off, what they think. But animals tend to not like being made to jump through the hoops and do tricks like that for us. They would much prefer it if we really find our inner trust and go with it and have a belief in it.
I think that raises such an important point too, that to think of nonverbal communication as a language, right? If someone was speaking Greek and Spanish and there was no, you know, point of reference, it's that same piece where, you know, we have to be speaking the same language too, right? And to demand something of someone the first time you have a conversation with them isn't usually the best approach. You talk about moving in and out of, or moving the consciousness out of your body and into that of the animals. And I'm really curious if you can go deeper into what that means and how you explain that.
Whenever I explain anything, I tend to do it really simply. And it's probably just because that's the way I think. it's really about intention. You know, you're not moving your entire body into an animal. What you're doing is you're moving your consciousness, and your consciousness is very much your intention as well. So if I have a belief that I am shrinking down inside of myself into like a little dot of golden light or something, an image that I can kind of hold in my mind, and then coming out of my head at a little sort of, you know, a trap door, flying across to the animal and slipping inside the door at the top of their head and down inside their body, that's all through a belief. I'm doing this, I'm trying to visualize it, I'm trying to be that dot of light moving. And that is basically what consciousness is. You know, it's very fluid, flowing, flexible, all the S. means to move about. And the more we are open and unlimited, the more exciting life is, because actually human beings have great power, you know, and they've got great potential, but we tend to live in a very, well, it's kind of like the old industrialized view, really, of materialism and mechanism and a sort of 3D world. But actually, the world is much more exciting than that. And as soon as we can start to be more aware and more in tune and more sensitive to and more intuitive about, we will definitely be raising awareness on the planet, and everything will start to get better for us as soon as we do that. That's not quite, I've kind of gone off at a tangent a little bit, but I'm hoping that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for saying that and giving voice to that. That's what we're doing here. And we can connect with you and find your latest workshops and retreats at animalthoughts.com. You offer so much, P. Thank you for all the work you put into putting this out for people to understand. And wondering, is there a better way to connect, animalthoughts.com? We can find you on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. Either use my name, P. Horsley, or use my website name, Animal Thoughts, and you'll find me there. And I'm also on Instagram. Just look up my name and you'll find me on Instagram.
Fun. And can you tell us about your wild animal retreats? That just jazzes me up. I'd love to hear about it.
They're all based on animal communication, so they're incredibly respectful and they put the will of the animal first, not our own. And it's really about, I take people to
That's
places
so
like,
important.
yeah, it
It's so
really is.
important.
And they're very ethical, very, very ethical, because otherwise I wouldn't do them. And I take people to Hawaii or Panama or Egypt. I'm thinking of doing a one in Canada with wild bears as well very soon. And as a very small group, we get to experience what it is like in real communication with and closeness with wild animals in their natural habitat. So everything is on their terms, and you can have the most amazing experiences and connection and communication with them on these retreats. And they're also kind of life-changing for the people taking part. On a sort of heart and soul level, you really do transform. I've come away from these retreats and people that arrived, struggling with life or struggling with themselves or struggling with work, in some kind of discord with everything. At the end of just one single week with these animals, they have just transformed, and they take that new energy of who they are back home, and then their life transforms. It has a ripple effect. Everything that seemed to be difficult kind of falls into place, and things that they were hoping to change or let go of, they just start happening and triggering, and people tend to feel way more confident as well. And so there's this beautiful exchange where we go out and we are with the animals, communicating with them, learning about them, hearing their wisdom, being able to share their message out to the world through the ripple effect within our own societies. And they give us so much back, and it's perfect, and they love it. They love that exchange, and they love having human beings wishing to come and to really understand them and really see them.
That mention you had of the bears in Canada, P. I just got back from a 3-week immersion experience at Eagle's Eye Ranch, and it's the first time I heard of bear spray. So I just have to ask, like, are you going to pack bear spray when you do that retreat?
Bear spray? Did you
Right.
say
And
bear
so
spray?
I did. So they and the fabulous people I was staying with had a wilderness shop, and so they were telling a story of how people came from a different country and they applied the bear spray on themselves. But actually, what you do is you spray it at the bear. But the problem is you have to be in such close proximity with the bear, and obviously we don't want to go spraying bears. That's not why I'm bringing this up. But my point is how do you get people over their fear of getting immersed in that wild habitat without thinking defense and survival?
It tends to happen quite organically, and people are part of that process as well through their own free will. And the animals are healing people as they're going through their process of letting go of fear and moving deeper into love and trust. And so I don't worry about that, to be honest. I always make sure that I am practical, and I choose to collaborate with companies who are very ethical and very safety conscious. But then when we are there, I very much trust what the animals bring to the experience, because it's not just what we do to them, it's very much we're working in harmony together to have that experience together.
Absolutely. And that's why I just love and adore you and your work so much. It's because you hold that highest integrity for the greatest good of all involved. And that's always allowing, you know, I'm curious, MP, do you send any memos in advance before you get to that wildlife setting? Are you in communication before you arrive?
With the animal?
Yes.
Yeah, they send any memos. They ask me to go to take people to them. That's how it works.
Okay.
I am always open, and I wait to hear which species wants me to take a group to them. So when I took people to Hawaii, I had been in Hawaii myself, and I was communicating with the dolphins and the humpback whales, and I was saying, you know, how do you want me to share what I've learned with other people that not experience this? And the message was really clear, bring them here. So the following year, that's what I did. And the bears have been asking me to take people to them for a couple of years now. And their message is getting stronger. So I'm acting on that now, and I'm getting that all together. So if there's anybody interested in these sort of wild retreats with me, with wild animals in natural habitat, if they go to my website, there's a retreat interest form. And you can just add your name and your email, and then you become part of the mail out. So once those retreats are confirmed and in place, you'll get to hear about them first, and you get 2 weeks advance notice over the general public. So if you want to choose to book those, you get 2 weeks grace before everybody else gets a chance.
Awesome. Thank you for mentioning that. It's such a thrill just to even hear about it, right? Of course, there's no substitute for the experience and having that firsthand life-changing experience. But just hearing you talk about it, I can feel the just everything. It's just such high energy and okay. So let me ground myself here. Before we go, P, again, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a lot going on. I'm so grateful. What's the number one thing that the intuitive pet parent listening can do for their pet family member?
The number one thing. You know, it's to see them as a sentient being. And when you see them as a sentient being, you will be different with them. So if you understand that they do, you know, every time you shut them away or say a harsh word or leave them for hours on end, that affects them. And every time you give them time and look into their eyes and just take time being present with them, that also affects them in such a positive way. So see them as sentient beings, acknowledge they are just like you, just in a different form, and then I think that will really help transform your relationship.
P, thank you so much. I could gush on and on, but I know you probably have to go. So any final thoughts before we do go?
Well, I'd just like to say to people, I guess, is that you are natural animal communicators. Everyone is a natural animal communicator. We are born that way. It's hardwired. It's innate. You know, it's part of our nature. So don't think it's something you have to attain. You know, it's not a gift just for the few. It's really about remembering it if we've forgotten it, and honing it, you know, practicing it so that it becomes like a strong muscle again. And it's really part of our life, regular part of our life. So just remember that you are animal communicators. If you don't know that already, then it's time to remember, and it's really time to start communicating with the animals in your life and receiving what they want to communicate back to you. And have fun with it, because they always do.
And Pete, thank you for listening to the animals and accepting their invitations to bring people to them. I think it's amazing. Keep up all of the amazing, excellent work you do, bringing us forward and back to nature, back to ourselves. And much gratitude. Thank you, Pete. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. And I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Kate.